And I want us to look here in Psalms 136 tonight, and we'll read just one verse and then give you the thought, Lord, give us tonight. We're going to be preaching along lines of Thanksgiving again tonight. And I said it Sunday, but this ought not to be a seasonal thing for the child of God. It ought to be a continual thing. And is giving thanks to the Lord. And you may not can do much. You may be hindered physically and with different things in your life, but you can always give thanks. And Psalms 136, let's all stand. We're going to read just one verse and we'll pray and ask the Lord to bless the preaching of the Word of God tonight. The Bible says this in Psalms 136 and verse 1, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, amen, for His mercy endureth forever." Father, I pray You'd help me tonight. Lord, I pray this would not just be another sermon, Lord, preached at another service, but I pray, Lord, tonight that You'd make the Word of God come alive in my heart and come alive unto those that are listening tonight. I pray, Lord, that You'd touch each and every one. Lord, I pray tonight, if there's one here amongst us lost tonight, I pray that the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit, would pierce their heart. Lord, convict them, and I pray the Holy Ghost would draw them, Lord, and show them their lost condition. And Lord, they might be born again tonight. I pray for the others that are here. I pray that, Lord, You'd use this message to lift their spirits, to, Lord, strengthen their faith, Lord, to focus their minds on Your purpose for their life. And I pray that we'd leave here tonight better than when we come. Lord, You know how feeble I am. You know how unable I am, Lord, and how unfit I am to preach without Your divine touch. But I pray, Lord, once again tonight, as in days gone by, You'd put Your hand upon me and allow me to stand, Lord, in this place, Lord, where no man dare stand alone. And Lord, give me that which I stand in need of now. Lord, I love You, and Lord, I do thank You for how blessed I am. Lord, I'm almost embarrassed how good You've been to me. Lord, I don't deserve the clothes that I'm wearing tonight. I don't deserve this church to be able to preach in tonight. Lord, I pray, God, tonight that You'd allow me, Lord, to do a little bit tonight to show You my thanks by preaching what You've given me to preach. Lord, we love You tonight. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. The Bible says in verse number 1, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good." Amen. And preaching here tonight from the 136th Psalm, I'm going to preach on just simply give thanks. Give thanks. And just as a way of introduction, I want to talk about the definition of thanks. I looked up that word in verse number 1, and it's amazing. When you look up that word thanks, it's the same word that many times is translated praise in the Old Testament, where in Psalms 107, it says four times, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord." And so when we talk about thanks, we're talking about praise. So what does that word thanks mean? Now, this is coming straight from Strong's Concordance. It means literally to use or to hold out the hand. It means specifically to revere or to worship with extended hands. Amen. I had someone ask me about raising your hands. I want to say that's what praise is raising your hands. And I know people say, well, that's charismatic. No, it's not charismatic. It's Bible. Amen. You know, it's good. The Bible said it is good to give thanks unto the Lord. And listen, that's not much. And that's what when the Bible says to give thanks. And now understand that symbolically what it means. You know, when we lift our hand, there's more than just one. It's adoration. And but also it's a sign of surrender. What do they say when the cops come in? Hold, I don't know. Some of y'all could probably tell me. Brother Justin, maybe he can tell us what they say. Well, they say, hold up your hands, right? I've watched enough cops in my life to know that that's what they do. Bad boys, what you gonna do, right? It means to surrender. Over there in Genesis, the first mention of lifting the hand, Brother David, was when God talked to Abraham. And the king of Sodom tried to come to Abraham and offered him his goods to come into a coalition with him. He wanted Abraham to join his army. And Abraham said, "I cannot take your goods." He says, "For I've lifted my hand unto the Lord." Amen. What Abraham was saying to that king of Sodom, it doesn't matter how much money you offer me or how much power or how much influence you offer me, I cannot take it, because I've lifted my hand to the Lord. I've given my allegiance to the Lord. I've given my life to the Lord. Amen? And listen tonight, the definition of things is to lift our hand in thanksgiving. And when we do that, we're saying, He's mine. I serve Him. I love Him. I'm identified with Him and His cause. The demand of thanks, though, it says give. Give. You understand that word give involves sacrifice? You know, until it costs you something, you've not really praised the Lord. True worship, now follow me, in the Old Testament, anytime they worshiped, they had to offer sacrifice. Amen. And you know, we have turned the tables, it seems like we haven't, but the world has turned the tables in the era that we're living in, and I'm talking about religiously speaking, where worship and praise is more about getting than giving. People will say things like, "Well, I really got a lot out of that. I get a lot out of this church." And I believe I understand. I've said that myself. I'm not trying to be hypercritical or anything like that. But the truth of the matter is, there's something wrong with a mindset that worship and church and serving God is self-gratifying. That's not what it's supposed to be. Thanksgiving involves sacrifice. Hebrews 13:15, by Him therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. And by the way, the times when we praise the Lord and it costs us the most is the times where God will bless us the most. And so anyway, the definition, the demand, I thought about this, the direction of thanks. It says, give thanks unto the Lord, unto the Lord. You know, this evening, there's a lot of directions that we can't give thanks in the times we're living in, right? There's a lot of things. There's a lot of people maybe right now. They're doing things right now, and we can't, but we can always give thanks unto the Lord. Right. Now, quickly tonight, and I mean that, I've got a long way to go and a short time to get there. So, y'all, I'm going to preach as quickly as I can. But I feel like this might help us tonight. Verses 1 through 3, I want us to look at the call to thanksgiving. The call to thanksgiving. He says, oh, give thanks. Now, when you read that word, oh, I mean, it's not just there to take up space. Verse number 2, it says it again, oh, give thanks unto the God of gods. Verse number 3, oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords. Who is the one calling us to thanksgiving tonight? It's the Lord. He's asking us. He's imploring us. Have you ever, I know Brother David has and some of these others with grandchildren. Have you ever gotten real serious with them and you embed them, you implore them, don't do this or please do that? My dad used to get worked up, and I know he's going to listen to that. And tonight he's listening to all these messages thanks to technology and all that. But anyhow, I'm amazed we haven't got like a 1-star review on the church Facebook page yet. But anyhow, when he used to get real worked up, and me and my brother and sister, we knew how to work him up real good, he'd say, please stop. Just please quit. And we'd get acting up in the backseat of that Oldsmobile with them vinyl seats in it, and we'd get to poking each other and pinching each other and punching each other, and we'd get riled up, and then it was just out of hand, and he'd say, stop, y'all stop. Then he'd go a little bit further, he'd say, hey, y'all cut it out. And then he'd get a little further, he'd say, hey, y'all need to stop back there, cut out. But Brother Larry, when it was, now this is what come right before whooping time that he denies. But there was, he'd say, please, would y'all please stop? Now when he got to that tone, we knew it was time to stop. Me being the kind and humble child that I was, I'd always submit. And actually, I was always the one that would give one more little snotty thing. And I was the one that always caused us all to get whooped. But what I'm saying is, when the Bible says, oh, give thanks, it's almost like God is in heaven saying, please, I beg you, I ask you, all I want you to do, all I'm asking you to do is just to give me thanks. All I want you to do is lift that hand that I gave you and use that voice that I blessed you with and give least we can do is lift up our heads and say, thank you, Lord, for what you've done. A call to thanksgiving. Why? Here in verse 1, I want to say number 1, because he's good. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Amen. The word Lord there used is Jehovah. In fact, in the Hebrew language, that was not a word that could be spoken. It was an unspoken word. It could only be written. They revered that word. When the translators and the scribes, when they would write that word, when they was translating or transcribing, making copies of the word of God, Brother David, when they'd write that word, capital L-O-R-D, they'd have to go wash themselves and they'd have to take the quill or whatever they were writing with, they'd wash it, they'd have to purify it, because that was the name of all names. That was Jehovah. And it means this, it means the self-existent one, the one that needs no support or help. Amen. Oh, aren't you glad tonight that God is good? Amen. Listen to me, the word. Goodness is not something God does. It's something God is. Did you know that God cannot do bad because God cannot be bad? Amen. He is a good God. We see so much bad in the world that we're in. Amen. I mean, there's a lot of bad things going on. But I'm glad that God's good. Amen. He always has been. He always will be. He doesn't need our support. He doesn't need our help. I thought about there and Daniel, where they made that image they set up that image, and the Bible says they had to make it. And it said they made it. And then it says they set it up in the temple. Amen. That means they had to prop it up. They had to hold it up. Oh, listen, and you remember over there in 1 Samuel chapter number 6, where the ark of the Lord was in the camp of the Philistines, and they stole it and they took it down and they put it into the temple of Dagon, their God, and they come in there in the morning, and oh, Dagon had fell on his face, amen, and his face was broke off and his hands was broke off. Why? Because Dagon is not Jehovah, amen. And listen, I'm glad tonight that the gods of this world, they're not Jehovah, but God and God alone. And because he's good, we can give him thanks. Because he's good. Verse 2, oh, give thanks unto the God of gods, for his mercy endureth forever. We ought to give thanks to call of thanks because not only is he good, but because he's God. Amen. Oh, I know that's profound and everything, but it's true. You know what that word God there is? Elohim. It means the supreme one, the strong one. I like this definition. It says the one who's always first in line. Amen. I remember when I was a little boy, we'd always do things we shouldn't do, you know, little things like we'd ride our bicycles around town. My grandma lived right there in Gainesville on North Avenue. And there was these hills. I mean, down there, they got real hills. And there were certain places we weren't supposed to ride our bike, but we'd always find them hills. And we'd line up, us little boys, we'd line up on our bicycles. And we was all scared, but we didn't want to admit it. And this is what we'd always say, you go first. No, you go first. No, you go first. That's the way I feel about this vaccine. Y'all go first. Amen. If your nose starts falling off and you're going to say, hey, I'll take COVID. Just bring it on. But you remember that? Have you ever done that? Well, you know, go to Six Flags. Now, y'all don't have Six Flags where we're at. It's like a you know, theme park, roller coasters and things like that. And you know, you'd be there and you're the youth group. You want one. And I'd always ease back to the back of the line. I was praying. I never been the type that liked to be scared and wanted to be scared. And I'd always think in my mind, I wish this thing would just break down and shut down before I get up there. But when the Bible says he is Elohim, that means he's the one that's always first in line. You know what that means is that God goes before us. And listen to me, aren't you glad that the Lord, he is not shoulder to shoulder with any other God. He is the God of little g gods, Drew. Amen. That means that he is supreme over those. It's the same word that was used in Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God. Amen. Amen. Listen, he is first in line. He is God alone. There is no one beside him nor near him. I'm not God and you're not God, but he is God. Amen. I'm thankful tonight that I have a God that I can give thanks. things to simply because he is God. And we don't need to forget he's God. And he always will be God. In verse 3, oh, give thanks unto the Lord of lords, for his mercy endureth forever.
Amen.
The call to thanksgiving because he's good, because he's God, but because he's gracious. That word, Adonai, it means controller or ruler. Now, follow me here. And he says, for his mercy endureth forever. Every verse in this psalm ends with that phrase, his mercy endureth forever. His mercy. And let me say this. We ought to give thanks tonight because his mercy endureth forever.
Amen.
Brother Larry, if the mercy of God ceased for just 1 minute, we'd all go to hell.
Right.
Just one moment. And listen, he says here that he is Lord of lords. Adonai, he is controller, ruler. So you say, what are you trying to say? Here's how he is gracious. He has got the right. He is the controller. He's the ruler. He sits on the throne of heaven and he looks down on us and he has the ability and he has the right to cast us off forever. But yet he has mercy on us and shows grace on us. That you know the gods of the heathens, they serve him out of fear. You know all these heathen gods like Muhammad and Allah. And listen, Allah's not God. And Muhammad ain't Jesus for sure. And the other false gods of the heathen and all through Egypt, and they served their gods out of fear. Molech and these other gods, they were scared of them. And their traditions taught them that those gods were angry and furious and violent. And they needed to fear, because if they didn't do what those gods said, they'd be destroyed. I'm glad tonight our God's a gracious God. Amen.
Right.
We don't serve him out of fear or terror, but we serve him out of faithfulness and love, because he showed grace on us as sinners.
Amen.
The call to thanksgiving. But I want you to see the cause for thanksgiving. Verse 4 through 9, we see he created all things. He says, to him who alone doth great wonders. Verse 5, to him that by wisdom made the heavens, to him that stretched out the earth above the waters. Verse 6. Verse 7, to him that made great lights. Verse 8, the sun to rule by day for his mercy. Verse 9, the moon and the stars to rule by night. And God, he says he created all things. Now here's, this speaks of his supremacy. He did it, and it says he did it in verse 4, alone. Alone. I do not believe in evolution. And now they're teaching theistic evolution. And what they're saying is that God made things, but evolution helped him. I don't believe that. I believe what the Bible says. I believe in 7 literal days God made the heavens and the earth. He made the sun to rule by day and the stars and the moon to rule by night. I believe he divided the firmament. I believe he did it all. I believe he made man in his own image and breathed into him his nostrils the breath of life. I don't believe we were ever hanging from trees by our tail. I don't think we were ever tadpoles. I believe in the Garden of Eden, God made, took dirt and molded it and breathed in it. I believe he took a rib out of the side of Adam and made woman and gave him to Adam to be his wife. I believe all that.
Amen.
He created all things. And that's the cause for thanksgiving. Nothing that you or I have and nothing that you and I are has come by our own selves.
Right.
It come from the hand of God.
Amen.
He created all things. Verse 10 through 24, he controls all things. It speaks of his sovereignty. Look at verse 10. It speaks of his deliverance. It says in verse 10, to him that smote Egyptian in the firstborn, for his mercy endureth forever. And brought out Israel from among them, for his mercy endureth forever. With a strong hand, with a stretched out arm, for his mercy endureth forever. To him which divided the Red Sea into parts, for his mercy endureth forever. And made Israel to pass through the midst of it, for his mercy endureth forever. But overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea. Not the Reed Sea, the Red Sea. For his mercy endureth forever. He is, listen, not only does he create all things, he controls all things. And the way he demonstrates his control and how he can deliver his people.
Amen.
Pharaoh had the Egyptians under his hand,
And Pharaoh had the mightiest army in the world, but he didn't have chariots that knew how to swim. Amen. Praise God. He come after those Hebrew children, and they stood on the banks of the Red Sea. They began to cry out and said, we should have just stayed in Egypt. And isn't that how we are? The first trouble we face, the first problem we face, we just want to throw up our hands and say, why me, God? And God said, Moses, don't look back. Don't look aside. He said, but look forward. Amen. And he lifted his hands up, and God parted the Red Sea. I believe that with all my heart. Amen. I believe them waters went here and went there, and the ground was dry, and God's people walked through. But when the last child of God stepped foot on the other side, the Pharaoh's chariots were in the midst, and God swallowed them up.
Amen, brother.
Do you know that's symbolic of another deliverance that's going to come one day?
Right.
You know what they did when they got on the banks of the other side, the Red Sea? What they do? Somebody, and I know somebody knows this answer. What did they do? Exodus 15. We've done it tonight in church. They sang. They sang what's been known as the song of Moses. Amen.
Amen.
You know what Revelation says we're going to sing in heaven one day? The song of Moses. And listen to me, one day, listen, it's symbolic of our deliverance. You see, right now we're in the midst of this Red Sea. We're passing through. We've got trouble before us and beside us and behind us. But thank God we're going forward. Amen.
Amen.
And I believe one day, listen, we're not the first in the line of children of God. We're in a long line. This line goes all the way back and goes all the way ahead. But one day soon, I believe with all my heart, the last one of God's children is going to step out of the Red Sea and step foot on dry ground. And when it does, the waters of this world are going to come in, and Pharaoh and the devil and all his armies will be destroyed.
Amen.
And we're going to sing on the other side. We're going to sing the song of Moses and thank God for victory. Amen. Deliverance. Verse 16 through 22, he talks about direction. His direction. Because he controls all things, he can deliver us. But he can direct us. He says to him in verse 16, which led his people through his wilderness. Verse 17, to him which smote great kings and slew famous kings for his mercy endureth. Sihon, king of the Amorites. Og, the king of Bashan. And gave their land for heritage, for his mercy endureth forever. Even a heritage unto Israel's servant, for his mercy endureth forever. Because he controls all things, it says in verse, he led them. He led them. And listen to me tonight. God, because he's in control, he can direct his children. He can direct his children. I want to ask you something tonight. Is God in control of your life? Is he directing your steps? The Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And tonight, I want to say this. I can say this without any doubt in my mind, that if you're living a life that is led by anyone or anything else but God himself, you're living a life of misery and disappointment, and you're living a life below what you could be living. The best life a person can possibly live is one led by the Lord.
Amen.
They sung that song, if I had 1,000 lives to live, I'd give them all to my Lord. And I want to say, listen, I know I'm 37, soon to be 38. I most think something that's young, some think it's old. I don't know where you are. I really don't care. But the truth of the matter is, if I had 37 years, if I could go back, I'd want to do it again and again and again and again, because living for the Lord, being led by the Lord, there's such a peace in it. There's such a contentment in it. And listen, this world's driven by everything but the Lord. I believe we ought to be led of God in all things that we do. Amen. Brother Harold Davis, he was an old man preacher in our church, and he was a prayer warrior. And listen, he was one of them type people. He believed everything literally. You know what I mean? I mean, like literally. He'd pray about everything. He'd come up to a stop sign and say, Lord, should I go left or go right or go straight? I mean, now I'm thinking McDonald's, if you're going to get coffee, it's right there. I mean, seriously, he prayed about everything. He'd go to eat, and if you went and ate with him, he'd say, Lord, what should I order for breakfast? Now, people thought he was off, but I'm going to tell you what, he was more on than he was off. And listen to me, there's so many people that make such decisions without ever being led by the Lord. Amen. We should ask the Lord, why? Because he controls all things. He's not going to tell us to go in a direction for our harm or for our demise. It's always in our best interest to allow him to direct our life. He's not only his direction, but his defense. In verse 23, it says, who remembered us in our lowest state, for his mercy endureth forever. What was the lowest point Israel got? I'll tell you where it was. It was in Babylon. When they hung their harps down in Psalms 139, they hung their harps and wheels and they wept and said, how can we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? That was the lowest point in the history of Israel, was in Babylon, up until when this was written. And he said he remembered us in our lowest state. And thank the Lord that God defends us, because he's in control. He can deliver us. He can direct us. But thank God he can defend us. Amen.
Amen.
I'm thankful that while I'm asleep, he's awake. Amen.
Amen.
When I'm looking the wrong way, he's always looking the right way. If it was up to us to defend ourselves and our families and our homes and our church and all that we have, we could not do it. But thank the Lord that we are encompassed about by the mighty hand of God. He defends us. He controls all things. Verse 25, who giveth food to all flesh, for his mercy endureth forever. Not only that, but we should thank him because he cares for all things. He giveth food to all flesh. Think about that. I believe God feeds the birds of the air.
Amen.
I do. I believe them little squirrels eating them. I believe God let them acorns fall for them squirrel.
Right.
I mean, think about how God, he's a God that cares for all things.
Amen.
And tonight, that if he cares for the birds of the air, if he cares for the animals, and if he cares for all those things, don't you know that he cares for those that he gave his son to die for? He cares for all things. Years ago, Brother Willard, my pastor, was sitting in his office and it had snowed. It never snows down there where we're from. It never snows. I mean, if you got an inch, I mean, it was like, hey, cancel school for a week, you know? We had one real snow my whole life, and there's a blizzard. They call it the blizzard. I think we got like 10 inches, and it shut down things for 2 weeks. But for some reason, it had snowed, and Brother Willard was sitting in his study at his house, and he said he looked out there in the snow, and them birds were just frantically looking for something to eat. They're jumping around in the snow, you know, digging around trying to find. They, you know, the birds don't know what to do in it either. They didn't never see it. And he said that there was a truck come up, a grain truck come up around where him and Miss Willing live, and he said he didn't even know why it was there. There was no reason. But it went to turn around the corner, and when it did, a bunch of grain fell out of that truck in the snow. And he said he watched them little birds go over there and start eating. And he read on the back of the truck, I believe it was from Kansas City, Missouri, that truck was. And God told him, he said, I sent a truck all the way from Kansas City, Missouri to feed them little birds. I can take care of you. God can and God will. Verse 26, I'll give thanks unto the God of heaven, for his mercy endureth forever. I want to just for a moment talk about the continuation of our thanksgiving. Did you know this tonight? There's very few things that we can do here that we're going to do in heaven. I've had people say, we're not going to preach in heaven, but I believe there's going to be a special room for preachers up there where we just get up there and preach to each other and have a good time. But we won't have to witness in heaven. We won't have to give the gospel because everybody will be saved, right? We won't have to worry in heaven, thank God. There's a lot of things that we're not going to be able to do in heaven that we do here on earth. But there's one thing we can do now that we will do there, and that's give thanks. Give thanks. I wrote this down. When everything is said and done, we find that concerning the Lord, it never is really all said and done. Amen. He is always going somewhere great and doing something big. As long as there is a God, there will be a reason to praise his great name.
Amen.
I want you to see this. The thanksgiving that we give is going to continue beyond this place. He says, give thanks unto the God of heaven. You know, I looked that up, and do you know the only other time that name is used in direction towards God was when Daniel, with Nebuchadnezzar, when Nebuchadnezzar said he turned his heart to God after Daniel went to the lions den and come out, remember all that? And he said, and Nebuchadnezzar called him the God of heaven. Now follow me. There is a Gentile connection in that name. Maybe that don't mean much to you, but guess what? We all are here tonight. Gentiles.
Amen.
And he said he's not just the God, but he's the God of heaven. Listen, Thanksgiving is going to continue beyond this place. Aren't you thankful that this is not all there is to it?
Amen.
I don't understand how people, I mean, think about it. Listen, in our Constitution, it says that we have the right to the pursuit of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. We have sacrificed liberty and the pursuit of happiness to try to save life. And I believe we ought to save life, but not at the cost of liberty and pursuit of happiness. If you don't have liberty and you don't have pursuit of happiness, what are you doing? You're not living, you're just existing.
Amen.
Think about it.
Right.
And so, I'm glad. Can you imagine being an atheist or somebody who doesn't believe in life after this life and how miserable you'd be right now? This is all we have. We can't even eat dinner. We can't even go to the store. We can't eat out. I mean, if I thought my 70 years or however long I had on this earth was all I had, I'd be plumb angry right now.
Amen.
Hey, if I'm just going to turn to worm food one day, let me live. But thank God there's a world beyond this world. Amen. Our Thanksgiving goes beyond this place to another place. Amen. Aren't you glad there's another place tonight where one day our feet will walk on streets of gold? Amen. And thank God we'll enter into a place where there's no day nor night, where there's no sin, no sorrow, nor crying. The Thanksgiving goes beyond this place.
Amen.
He's the God of heaven. It's going to continue, though, beyond these people. These people. I'm talking about the people that, you see, God's going to separate us all one day at the great white throne of judgment. The lost are going to be eternally, forever cast off in the lake of fire and brimstone. Call that whatever you want to call it. I call it Bible.
Yeah.
And right now, there's people, and you can believe it or not, you can accept it or not, you can acknowledge it or not, but there is a movement in our world to absolutely silence Christians. Silence us. Brother David, they don't want us to let them live. I believe that, listen, I don't believe in forcing religion on people. I don't believe in government rule when it comes to the church. I don't believe that. I believe people ought to have the ability to choose, liberty to choose. And listen to me, I'm against a lot of things that are going on, but I believe that they have a right to make their choice. But that's not what they want. They don't want us to live and let live. They want us to bow and to endorse. Listen, they want us to, and when I was a boy, the preachers preached it, and people thought they had lost their mind. They said, they're coming for us. They're coming for your children. And they tell us it's going to be in our schools one day. They're going to be pushing it on the TV. They're going to want us to accept it. They don't want us just to accept it, but they want us to say we agree with it. Thank God that our Thanksgiving is going to continue beyond these people.
Amen.
These people that deny God. And I hope every one of them gets saved. I hope every one of them gets saved. I hope that Joe Biden gets saved and Pelosi and the rest. I hope they get saved. I really do. I hope they get born again. It'd do my heart good if old Sleepy Joe got on TV tomorrow morning and said, praise God. I got on my knees and I begged God to save me. I'm saved. I've got to change my mind. We're not going to build more abortion clinics. We're going to shut them all down. We're not going to do all this worldly. I wish that would happen. I do. Wouldn't that be awesome? I wonder what CNN would do with that. They would be up you-know-what creek then, wouldn't they? What are we going to do now? I seen today they had a whole article about the socks that Joe had on. But boy, y'all sure are hard on him. Brother David, I wish they'd all get saved. I do. I wish every drug dealer would get saved. I wish every God denier would get saved. And that's my desire. And by the way, God wants them to get saved too.
Amen.
Don't forget that. But brother, the truth of the matter is that the way that's going to heaven is a straight way, and it's a narrow way, and there's few that find it. There's few that find it, and the way that goes to hell is a broad way, Matthew 7, and there's many that go there in that, and the majority of the world is going straight to hell against God and against His Word. But thank God one day when the smoke settles, and listen, there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth, and thank God in that day we'll join arm in arm, hand in hand, and with one voice we'll thank our Lord and Savior for what He's done. It goes, says, oh, give thanks to the Lord, to the God of heaven, for His mercy endureth forever. The continuation of thanksgiving, it's going to continue beyond this place. It's going to continue beyond these people. But I want you to get this. This is really where this whole sermon started when I was studying this word. It's going to continue beyond this point. It's going to continue beyond the point. Now follow me. There's a reason I use that word. I looked up the word endureth. Endureth. And it says this, beyond the vanishing point. And I thought, you know, I have to spend a little bit more time thinking about things, figure it out. What does that mean, beyond the vanishing point? Have you ever been at the ocean? We never went to the beach when we was kids. We always went to the ocean. That's what my parents say. Because, you know, you didn't want... Anyway, we're going to go see the water, you know. That's what we'd say. Have you ever been seeing the water down there and you looked out and you seen them boats and they went and they went and they went and then there's a vanishing point? You ever got on one of them boats? I remember me and Kim went down there to the place we went, St. John... We got on that airplane, and we got beyond the vanishing point of America, and it really made me nervous. You look out there, and there's Cuba. As close as Cuba I ever want to get, you know what I'm saying? But there's a vanishing point. So when the Bible says His mercy endureth forever, it means it endures beyond the vanishing point. Follow me. We can only see so far. You know how far we can see? The graveyard. That's as far as we can see. We can't see any farther. Now, we live by faith. We know there is a place that we know. We believe by faith what the Bible says, that there is life after death, that there's eternal life for the saved, there's a damned life for the lost. We know that. We believe that. But we can't see it. But we can have faith and hope and joy tonight, because beyond the vanishing point, farther off than I can see, far beyond the graveyard, amen, far beyond the hospitals and the ICU and the ventilators and cancer and death and pain and heartache, far beyond that, God's mercy, it still endures, amen. Oh, I'm glad that farther than I can see, God's mercy is still good, amen. And listen, I can't see 10,000 years from now. I'm having a hard time seeing 10 minutes from now. But thank God, God's already looked ahead in time. God's, listen, did you know that God's already been there? Get this, He already is there. He's already there. He's the great I am. He's omnipresent. That means He can be here, He can be there, and He's everywhere. Did you know that God's still there in the beginning, and He's still at the end, and He's still right here? Oh. And God looked at him. He told David, He said, write this down. My mercy is endures forever beyond the vanishing point. How does God know that? You know why? Because He's already out there past the vanishing point. And He said, David, tell him the mercy's still good. My mercy's still good right now out there in the ages to come and eternity future. God's mercy will endure and endure and endure and endure. And thank God while the ages roll, we're going to thank Him for His mercy that endures. Amen. You know what gets us defeated and gets us cold and not right with the Lord? Is when we focus on what's between the vanishing point and here. But what we need to do, you see, if I can't thank God for what's going on right now between here and that vanishing point, I can thank Him for what goes on beyond it. because God says my mercy goes beyond the vanishing point. You look as far as you can see. All I can see for me is a casket, people coming by, paying their respects, a preacher preaching, and that's it. I can't see further than that. That's because that's all I've seen. And if you read these books where these people say they went to heaven, listen, unless you're wanting to start a fire or something, that's a waste of money. I know a man that's done seen beyond heaven. His name was John the Revelator. Amen. And I'll take old John's word over any of these Looney Tune people that what there's. But Brother Ty, I can't see farther than that. And neither can you. Neither can you. But I'm glad God's already looked ahead way beyond that. And he said, hey, over here on this side, I want you to know this. My mercy's still good. Amen. That's good to know, ain't it? The Lord's not going to change his mind 10,000 years from now and say, well, send them on to hell. No. His mercy endureth forever. Amen.